So I was wondering, like, what other great computer scenes and movies have you guys, can you guys think of that were just, you won't forget?
I can't tell you that, Dave.
That was a classic film.
Any film that has the screen come back with security access.
Well, yeah, I was also...
There's a whole boatload of them from the movie Hackers.
Bunch oh, that was...
Yeah, Hackers is good, yeah.
Yeah, but you have to really be one of them to love it, though.
No, I think everybody liked that movie.
Computer!
What was that?
Angelina Jolie when she was really young?
What was the movie? It just goes like came out 2 years ago. It was based off that video game where they rode those weird motorcycles.
Tron.
Yeah, the last Tron.
Tron Legacy?
Yeah.
Wasn't the video game based on the movie, and then the movie was based on the video game or something like that?
Right.
But anyway, there was a scene where they showed a screen of a Linux or a Unix terminal where he was trying to kill the program when he was hacking in. It said kill-9. I thought that was a good scene.
Flowers box.
Yeah, and they said that who would give away an operating system for free. They had like little back jokes to the Linux community.
I want to say I don't like Hackers, but I do like Sneakers. That was a classic movie.
Sneakers rocked.
You know, Sneakers always confused me because I like understood that one of the guys, the blind guy, was the prototypical phone freak, but everything else was just baffling to me.
Haven't seen that flick. When was it made?
It was made on... Hold on. Give me one
it was
second.
Like mid-90s.
I'm going to guess 96, 97.
92. And it's still actually as valid today as it was then.
Most of it's about physical security. That was the key thing about it. It was about social engineering and kind of getting into buildings. And, yeah, like Ken said, it's all kind of stuff that's valid today. By the way, hello again, everyone. I'm back again for a little while.
Hey.
Hey, John.
Back, welcome back.
John, the nice guy from CC Hits.
Yeah, I think all the security and the hacking in that movie was just fluff and filler. That movie was really about peace on Earth and goodwill towards men.
Which Hackers?
Sneakers.
Sneakers? No, Sneakers was cool.
I really liked Freedom Downtime. That's a less hilarious film, though.
Freedom Downtime. Hold on.
That's the Kevin
Mitnick
film.
That was a documentary about Kevin Mitnick, right?
It was. I really enjoyed that film.
Yeah, that was a production of 2600 Crew.
It was, yeah.
I'd never heard of it until just now.
Yeah, that sounds like a bit where they.
Sorry, I realized I was talking all over someone. I particularly like the bit when they sort of key the intercom to get into one of the buildings and it dials a number and they're like, oops, we just dialed someone's home number. By mistake.
Yes.
Cool, I have not seen
his book, Ghost in the Wires, is also amazing. That's an incredible book.
I quite like the computer display in Die Hard 4, the one with the it's got like they're having a little chat and one of the guy's avatars is like a little devil and it comes along and eats the other avatar. It's pretty cool.
The two key films that always got me were The Net for just complete unbelievableness.
Crappiness, you mean?
Yeah. Although from a technical premise, there was nothing to it at all. But from a good filmmaking perspective, it was all right. I quite enjoyed the film as it went. But yeah, nothing technically valid there. What was the other film that I was just thinking of though? Oh, I can't remember now. I'll shut up again.
Eagle Eye.
You know when you ask about good computer films. All I can think of is the worst computer film. I think the film that did the most to harm the computer science and the progress of computers and everything like that would have to be The Lawnmower Man with that like awful virtual reality concept that they had.
I always thought it was neat. I always wanted to like test that out. Saw their setup and it looked pretty cool when I was a kid.
I thought you were going to say Takedown.
No, what's that one?
That is the fictionalized version of Kevin Mitnick with weird, hilarious, cartoonish things that happen in it.
Oh, right on. Okay. Now, okay, so I think they made a movie out of it. I never saw it, but as for a book, did anybody ever read The Terminal Man?
I think so.
It's the Michael Crichton one, right?
Yeah.
They made a film about it, but I have not. I've never seen it.
There was this short video I saw that was pretty good. It was, I think it was called Life 2.0. It was basically like an end user license agreement explaining all the features you get after your body dies, you're uploaded to a computer, and you don't have all the capabilities if you didn't get the right package and all this other stuff. It's only like a couple minutes.
There's a similar book to that.
That I've seen.
It's called Ready Player One. Ready Player One's a really good book.
Anyone ever see the movie A Man, a Woman, a Bank, Donald Sutherland?
Donald Sutherland?
Yeah, it's an old movie. It's Donald Sutherland and an actor called Mussorgsky, and there's actually a bank going in Canada, and they're building it from the ground up with computer security, and they hack it, and they actually feature the guy hacking it from the bathroom of the bank building, which was really just hysterical for me. It's a little obscure, but I really, really enjoyed it.
From a similar perspective, Firewall. Firewall is a dreadful, dreadful film that's great because it's like the guy that's breaking the security of the bank is basically just entering in commands into a switch.
Yeah, that's what they took advantage of.
Hey, going back to the early 80s, probably everybody remembers Star Trek IV, where Scotty talks into the mouse computer. But what about what happens after that? That blew my mind. When you talk about one of the worst scenes, why would Scotty be super duper, almost like Lieutenant Commander Data, good on a keyboard? In fact, I would think somebody from Scotty's time would be bad on a keyboard. They wouldn't know what to do.
There was a later movie that, and William Shatner was actually using like a Commodore 64 or something, I think, in the background.
As far as computer movies, it's not really a computer movie, but the really influential interface thing in, damn it, just forgot it.
The Tom Cruise, Philip K. Dick movie.
Yes, yes.
I know the one you're talking
Minority
about.
Minority Report.
Minority
Report.
That was a great movie.
I really didn't like it, and I didn't care for the stupid computer gimmick, but man, did everyone else love it, because yeah, you're right. Everyone, like, that's the interface that everyone envisions now. It's like it has to be
from
like a HUD, and it has to be...
The visual interface and the UI. Yeah.
What about the really interface in Paycheck?
I don't think I saw that one.
Changing subject, not entirely, but did anyone go into the film Source Code expecting something entirely different?
Yes, that was me. I did that.
I never
heard
of that
movie
one.
About?
It was pretty good movie. I enjoyed it.
You can't really give a lot away about that film without it being spoilers. So it's...
This is what IMDb says about it. An action thriller centered on a soldier who wakes up in a body of an unknown man discovers he's part of a mission to find a bomber of a Chicago commuter train.
That's accurate, but it's... It doesn't have a lot to do with Source Code, unfortunately.
Sounds a lot like Face Off.
It's kind way of, better.
It kind of reminded me of the Butterfly Effect.
Yeah.
It had to be better than Face Off. Static on a screen for 2 hours is better than Face Off.
I jumped out of my skin with Face Off. My wife loved it. I have no idea why.
I don't get why anybody liked it.
It was made by David Bowie's son, so that should tell you how great it is.
Well, I mean, with some horrible movies, it just gets so bad, it becomes funny. Like, did anybody see Troll 2?
I haven't seen Troll 1.
Yeah, I've never seen any of the Troll
Troll
movies.
I liked Troll 1. It was a lot better than I'd expected, and pretty good.
You know what they should make a remake of is The Matrix. I was often wondered why there was only ever one episode of that.
You mean like the other two?
You make a good version of The Matrix? Like one without Keanu Reeves?
It's called Neuromancer.
I also wondered why they never made a remake of The Highlander as well.
Because there can only be one.
Now, what would you say if they did a remake of Star Wars and George Lucas had nothing to do with it?
Thank you.
Well, if you want to talk about Keanu Reeves, you have to talk about...
No, don't do it!
A giant demonic... Giant
demonic. You did it!
What, no good?
Terrible. Anything with Keanu Reeves, just forget about it.
Yeah, but that one has
Bill
and Ted. Enjoy Johnny Mnemonic, though.
Keanu Reeves cannot act. He sucks the life energy out of me whenever he is on the screen.
I liked the Bill and Ted movies, but Johnny Mnemonic was quite possibly the worst movie I've ever seen aside from The Scarlet Letter.
You know what? You know what's really funny about Johnny Mnemonic was that, I mean, I could follow because I read the book, but what happened with me was I got the Japanese edits, the stuff that they had in the Japanese version, but not in the English version, and all of a sudden everything made sense.
Nice.
What you have to understand about Keanu Reeves is that when he mentions his capacity in Johnny Mnemonic, it really does affect his acting level.
Nice.
Yeah, the one scene in that movie that just sealed the deal was when, I think it was Ice-T was the one of the guys in the movie. He took his paintball gun and unscrewed the CO2 tank and like ran off. Like, as if that somehow improved this weapon that we were not all supposed to recognize as a paintball gun.
Well, I liked when that guy was looking at the preacher through the binoculars and it had the readout that told what percent of human parts were there.
And well, NY Bill's just joined. Hi, Bill.
Yeah, is this working?
Yeah, we did great.
Okay, cool. I had to set the whole thing up.
Sorry, I botched meeting you at the Hope Conference, NY Bill.
Oh, right, yeah, we got some wires crossed there.
I first heard about that after it happened on HPR. I was like, damn.
Yeah, every 2 years you can get over. Next time, we'll all meet up.
So now I have to wait another 2 years.
And speaking of guys who sound like other guys, all day long I've been thinking that Red Streak was, Red Steak was NY Bill.
Who's using my voice?
You loaned it out, huh?
Hello back, Becky.
Hi, Bill.
We were just discussing what a brilliant actor Keanu Reeves is.
Oh, I loved him in Speed.
Well, actually, the idea was to talk about computer films, but somehow he dominated that. Like he dominates the good stories that I'd rather see someone else in.
His acting might improve on Speed.
Nobody mentioned Constantine. I love that film.
I like that film too, actually.
Didn't see it.
That was pretty good.
I think I liked it mostly because Satan was gay in it.
Is there any?
That just happened to be on last night.
Is there any fans of the TV show Criminal Minds?
Never heard of it. Sorry.
I don't think you're going to have a lot of TV viewers in here.
Never heard. Well, of it. Well, okay, I've seen
heard
Criminal
about
Minds.
It. It's like this computer system that could see and watch everything, and this
different show. Criminal Minds is a FBI thriller type show.
Yeah, it's these people who go out and they basically profile mass killers and actually figure out how to track them down. I won't say that the show was all that great, although the interesting part about it is at the beginning and end, they normally use some kind of like literary quote, and it's interesting that they're trying to take and frame pretty much standard stories within a different literary context, which is about the only thing that's interesting about that show.
Well, anyway, the reason I ask is there's a girl who's does all the computer legwork for them, and they're always showing her screenshots of her setup, and I cannot for the life of me figure out what operating system she's using. I just wonder if anybody... I even freeze frame it and look real well. It looks almost like Mac Ubuntu type setup.
It's Crunchbang.
Well, that reminds me, we haven't discussed yet the Show of the Dragon.
Isn't everything?
It's Fluxbox.
Talking of
I love
Fluxbox.
I actually read the books those are based on, the Millennium Trilogy, and they actually go in really deep into how like the software that she made for surveilling on people works, and like it's really good and it's really in depth. I was really surprised.
Does it say she's running Fluxbox?
The only thing worse than the description of how they do it in the books is the description of how they do it in the movies.
Yes.
And there's also
These movies or in those crime shows, they have like the enhanced picture thing, like enhance, almost like in Blade Runner.
Oh, that is so much shit.
There's an excellent YouTube video where they take the every time enhance is said in a movie and put it into a clip. It's fantastic. I'll see if I can grab it.
I watched that the other day, Ken. It's brilliant. I think it's called Enhanced Life or something, something along those lines.
I hope they have one called Override, and they just take everywhere where somebody says override in a sci-fi movie or computer movie.
So when everybody poo-pooed watching TV, I take it we have no Myth TV users here.
Myth TV people don't watch TV. They spend not yet. All their time building Myth TV boxes.
Not me. That's about mine, it, yeah. Mine runs and runs and records
that's
and records.
That's what you all say. Accepting it is well, the first
they,
step to
think,
salvation.
Yeah, they
just
run
use,
on, they never bother
use
watching.
That like me.
Does it run on the Pi?
I've heard people ran front ends on the Pi.
Yes, I think you can. There is a... Well, I'm not sure about Myth TV. I think you can install it on top of one of the... One of the base, versions of it. But then they've got a XBMC version also, which XBMC does have a plugin for being a Myth TV front end.
Doesn't Myth TV have the auto commercial stripper on
yes,
the cord?
That's the main reason I use it.
Yeah, didn't they like practically invent that?
There was a VHS technology that did that. Quite a few years back, I had a VCR that did that, and it was awesome. It apparently could detect it somehow from like the metadata that worked in that they had somehow in broadcasts for advertising, and so it would automatically fast forward that whenever I had recorded it. So if I recorded something to a VHS tape and I watched it, it would skip all the commercials. It was the greatest thing ever.
Yeah, but there was captioning. How that worked was there's actually an inaudible high pitch frequency at the end of a show segment leading into the commercials, and one in the leader coming back into the show. So that's how it actually knew how to fast forward over the commercials.
I've been wondering that for years.
In the DVD world, there's a standard for that, and they put in a signal into the streams so that local advertisements can be run, but they also make sure to take it out of it before it goes to live broadcast.
Much of the closed captioning is never found in commercials also, so if you just look for the next closed caption, it's a good way to do it.
Oh,
it's
yeah,
not bad.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Up until this recent... legislation that was passed to limit the volume of commercials. You could have just done it by how much volume there was.
Comcast is horrible on their volume control on commercials. It's either really high or super low.
Yeah,
Comcast has nothing on Hulu.
Not Klaatu? What's up?
I was just going to say that they used to deny that they did that to commercials. It sounds like maybe they're not denying it so much anymore.
Well, they can't deny it. Congress just passed a law that said that they can't do that anymore. But the
That's
whole
great.
Idea with that, as I understand it, which they would never, of course, admit to, was that so you'd still hear the commercial from the kitchen while you were making your popcorn or getting your beer or from the bathroom or whatever.
This latest one was like their second attempt. The first time they tried to do that, they messed up because what they did was they put a higher range. So... Like commercials stay around the same volume, but shows could get really loud when there's a explosion or something like that. So what they did was they set the commercials to the explosion volume of of like a show, like the loudest volume that was in the show. So technically they were at the same volume. It's just that they were following the letter of the law, not the necessarily spirit of it.
Well, the problem is the true dynamic range of real sound, it really would not make it for broadcasting. It's people are too used to the compression.
Definitely true.
I think we just seen our record for today at 36 mumble connections. It's setting at 35 right now, but we had a 36 peak. Anybody else see anything higher?
No, I hadn't been watching. I've been watching the streams, and we've been hovering around 20 on AUG and MP3, so it's been pretty even, but AUG pulled ahead a little while ago.
And Ken was worried we weren't going to have enough streams.
No, I wasn't.
Is there a limit how many can be here?
75 connections today.
Nothing wrong with being ready for scalability, though.
Okay, so Stuzz is asking how many people he thinks, how many we think are listening. So on the streams that we know of, there's 21 or 22 in the AUG, and in MP3, there's 23. So MP3's pulled ahead again.
New World, the new radio.net also has listeners, which we don't know.
Yeah, but we don't have a count on those, do we?
Nope.
I'm cheating because I'm recording AUG separately.
Ah, cool.
That's okay, and I'm cheating too because I'm monitoring the new radio.net, even though it's bumping that MP3 count up by one, sadly.
Guys, I'm going to have to go now for the next hour or so. I've got kids to be a father of.
Good luck.
Good luck,
Don't blow them up.
Have fun siring.
Do my best. And if you need to contact me, you guys should have my mobile phone, my cell number. Yeah?
Never gave that to me.
Chat, just one second. I'll paste it in again.
I don't want it now.
Can you do that? Can you text internationally, or do they like nail you for that?
It's international internet.
Yeah, but have somebody in the UK do it, or Netherlands.
Free world dial-up.
Work as well. Just shout.
I'll send a carrier pigeon.
Just call a UK number. Hey, tell this to Ken.
Ken doesn't live here. He's moved to the Netherlands.
So, anyone got any interesting toys for Christmas?
I went and grabbed myself a laptop.
What kind?
11.6-inch Sony Vaio, 750-gig hard drive, 4 gigs of RAM, and dual 1.7 gigahertz Fusion.
Okay, there it is.
37 mobile.
What'd you say the graphics chip was on
I
there?
I got my
wife you?
A copy of Starflux.
It's integrated in on the Fusion processor.
Ah, okay.
How are those under Linux?
Oh my god, beautiful. And full virtualization support.
Oh, really? Huh.
Very nice.
I've been thinking about getting a System 76 laptop for a while.
This one was a floor model I picked up at a 15% discount, but it took me about 4 hours to figure out how to go through all the BIOS settings to enable Linux installation without a signed kernel.
Oh, is that UEFI Secure Boot?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
How's that working out? Because, yeah, that's coming down the pike, and I just wonder who's going to be screwed with Linux, trying to put Linux.
I eventually popped it into legacy mode so that it doesn't really matter.
Oh, good.
Yeah, just a matter of finding the right verbiage.
Wait, the BIOS has a legacy mode that turns off the UEFI thing? Is that correct?
Yep.
Well, that's great. Is that going to be something that sticks around, do we think?
Yeah, the next manufacturer will call it something different.
Yeah.
According to Microsoft and their specifics, they will not allow the stuff to be turned off themselves in the tablets, only the laptops.
Yeah, ARM-based processors, right?
Oh, don't care about tablets anyway.
But Android. Netbooks are going away, so what are we going to use?
Anybody put Linux on a Surface yet?
Raspberry Pi.
It's very difficult to get it to run on a Surface.
I was betting somebody's tried.
I have.
Any luck at all?
No, they've done quite a good job, unfortunately. There might be people that have done it successfully, but it's a larger undertaking than I had initially thought.
I'm just impressed that you got a Surface and are actually trying it.
I actually used my friend's Surface because he was dumb and bought a Surface.
So you thought you'd try to brick it for him.
Yeah.
Couldn't get any worse, right? I mean, it's already running Windows.
Yep.
Yeah, I hear you.
He just wanted to fix it for him.
It said that it required Windows or better to run this application, so I installed Linux.
That's better.
I'm currently going to be using a bunch of these laptops to build a Linux-based system that's going to be running 5 versions of Windows for different diagnostic tools for vehicles.
On a dual core?
Yep.
That's weird. I have a ThinkPad X220, which has some pretty awesome specs, and I don't know if I would be able to virtualize things at the same time, more than one box on it.
The processor supports virtualization, which means I can run almost natively.
Well, the processor on this supports virtualization too. What are you running it under?
It's running under VirtualBox on a dual core 1.7 Fusion.
This is an i5 something at like 2.2, so it should be able to run that pretty well. I was running it under VMware too, though.
Yeah, I kind of got away from VMware.
You're talking about five different versions of Windows talking to five different vehicles?
No, the problem with most of the diagnostic software is that some of the drivers can interfere with each other. So, for example, the GM diagnostic software doesn't like to play nice with the drivers for the Ford diagnostic software. So what they advise is installing five different versions of Windows natively on a computer. I prefer to do it in a VM.
Okay.
That's silly.
Oh, that makes
sense.
You're not really running them simultaneously then.
No, although this can take 8 gigs of RAM if I really need to.
They need to make better software.
That is true, but at the same time, they're all running on the same hardware, and it's standards-compliant hardware.
Welcome to Dan.
Yeah. What goes around comes around. That problem's been around for four decades now. But our software is the only software you'll ever need.
Whose device drivers are these? I need to know who to set on fire in the future.
These are specifically for the diagnostic tools for the manufacturers, all running through a standards-compliant system. The nice thing is the box that we're getting to hook up through OBD2 is a Linux box, and it comes pre-rooted.
Oh boy, we just got Method Dan, Origami, Cobra 2, and Thistleweb all popped in at the same time.
Nice. Sounds this like might have been the call-out on Identica.
It's almost a change of shift, isn't it?
No, the pups just kicked out.
Kind of sounds like a gang or something from the Warriors, you know? Like Cobra 2, Thistleweb.
They're very suspect-looking characters.
They're actually the characters from Streets of Rage.
And Delwyn's here, too.
Anyway, I need to skip out. I got to go make a key for a Nissan.
Okay.
Okay, have fun.
Good evening, everyone.
Are you doing Thistleweb?
Good evening.
Yeah. Good evening. I've just noticed a little issue. I've just noticed a little issue on the netbook with this many people on the channel. Is usually there's only like four or five people on a channel or something, so that you can see when someone's lights light up.
Yep.
So you can see who's talking, but there's so many people it scrolls off. So there's going to be people talking, and I don't see their light lighting up, so I don't know who it is. This might be an issue.
Yep. Well, I'm scrolling up and down.
You're going to have to either
try doing it on a phone.
You're going to have to either turn it sideways or drink until your head falls sideways.
That's nothing new for Thistleweb.
Hey, I resemble that remark.
I was going to say, you haven't stopped drinking yet, right?
Three monitors on a stacked desk.
Well, me personally, I've not even started drinking yet. I've been waiting until coming on here before I start. I'm actually having my last coffee before I start drinking.
I call bullshit.
I second it.
Time
That's
to chug.
Irish coffee, isn't it?
Yeah, and he didn't say what he put in the coffee.
Oh, I'm not going to answer that without my lawyer being here. Anyone want to represent me?
Azmuth, dude, when did you show up?
He's been here a while.
Yeah, a little while.
Hey, Az, how you doing, man? Long time no see.
Just trying to stay warm.
Hey, Az, how are you, buddy?
'Tis the season.
Hi, Art.
Yeah, I'm looking through the list. It's like the gang's all here.
'Tis the season to be freezing.
Yeah, it's even cold in the south.
It's really mild and wet here.
If you go deep enough south, you can go camping with crayon.
It's a nice 81 in Hawaii.
No thanks. No camping for me. I had my share.
I found a huge disadvantage of being off. I hadn't started my car in about 6 days, and the battery was dead.
Nice.
Bummer.
Time for a new battery.
Exactly.
So on that the previous conversation, did you guys hear that like netbooks are they're going the way of the dodo?
I wanted to talk about my netbook.
I think Asus and Acer said that they're going to run their production out, and then that's the end of it. They're the last two making them.
Such a pity. I really liked that form factor. I would so much rather have a netbook than a tablet.
Yeah, I've been using my EE forever, and
yeah,
I hope it doesn't die.
Yeah.
The form factor's not going away. It's just the netbooks are going away. They'll still have ultrabooks for $1,300-$1,400. It's just the $300 and $400 ones are going away.
Yeah, but those have like Sandy Bridge and like i5s in them, and the battery's going to run
for 60 minutes and you're done.
Yeah, really.
Actually, no. I have a ThinkPad X220, which is like a 12.5-inch laptop. It's considered an ultra-portable, though, so it's, like, I guess, bigger than a netbook. It gets a good 10, 11 hours of battery.
Oh, really?
It's pretty crazy, yeah.
With Linux.
9-cell. Yeah,
they say that the tablets are replacing the netbooks, but the thing I don't like about the tablets is there's A, no good open source drivers for a lot of those graphics cards on them.
Yeah.
And B, even if you could, it's harder to install than just an average x86 add-on Linux distro.
I just bought a netbook that's Android-based, an A10 board.
I think it depends on the audience. I mean, there's a lot of people, bearing in mind that computers tend to be bought by the mainstream users, and all they really want is Facebook and Twitter and Skype and stuff like that, you know? And let's face it, I mean, when you buy a netbook, what has it got on it? It's got Windows on it, and that's hardly a selling point for a netbook, you know, straight out of the box. When people get it, they go, this is slow as molasses. It's people like us who can refactor it in and get a decent operating system on it, we can sort of appreciate that, but a lot of people, they don't get that experience. They get Windows, and it's got all the same malware issues as the regular desktop or laptop, but it's not anywhere near as fast.
It's got the
malware
issues, and it runs 50 times faster.
Absolutely true.
Hey, has anybody been following the PengPod after they did their Indiegogo fundraising thing? That's what I'm looking forward to.
I looked at it. It looked like a cheap Chinese tablet, which is fine because it was priced at a nice price. The problem I saw was, again, the graphics on it. If you were running a standard Linux, it still wouldn't be the best. And some stuff, at least with Plasma Active, seemed a little buggy. And that would be the main interface I was actually looking forward for.
I'm looking forward to getting my Ubuntu tablet in 43 hours, 19 minutes, and 4 seconds.
I'm not looking forward to my bank balance being emptied to get it.
You know, I think Core Nominal should keep this show live until that Ubuntu thing comes out.
I agree.
I wish I could, but I've got to go to work at some point, maybe.
You have sick days, right?
Not yet, he doesn't.
Yeah, you know, an Apple fanboy would call out for his latest tablet or iPhone or whatever. So, if you really care.
Yeah, we were talking about cults earlier. Would you consider Apple a cult?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Definitely.
In fact, an Apple fanboy would be in line right now to go into the store and watch it on their monitors.
Go and speak to a genius about it.
All the geniuses are on Mumble right now.
I do my best. That's all I can offer.
Hey, John, the nice guy. How you doing, pal?
I want Dan to say hello to everyone.
Hello, everyone.
Hey!
I believe the term's genii, by the way. The plural of genius is genii, but there we go.
Let's not
feel better
room
then.
There's only one genius on this channel anyway, so, you know.
Good point. A
genie eye sounds like something Steve Jobs would think of when he looks in the mirror. Oh,
that's eye genie.
See, this is where the mirror comes in.
Actually, the plural of genius is geniuses.
I thought it was genie eye, isn't it?
Well, it's a little more complicated than that. So, genie comes from gin, right? Like the, you know, like D-gin, mm-hmm. that sort of gin. And that got corrupted and turned into genie. And there's some relation between genie and genius. It was supposed to be that if you are someone who is tremendously intellectually talented, they would say you had a genius following you, and that mm-hmm. was supposed to be like a helper spirit. And for some reason in English, the plural of that is geniuses. That is at least one accepted. I'm not sure if genii or like genius or genii is a accepted thing, but geniuses is the first accepted one I know of.
You know, that would explain Apple's new patent for the button that's shaped like a lamp for the Genius Bar, so the customer rubs the lamp to get a genius to appear.
I think it's great that we're getting an English lesson from across the pond.
Yeah.
As long as we're still allowed to say boxing, then I'm fine with it.
Is it true you're only allowed to ask 3 questions at the Genius Bar now?
Oh,
You can actually wish for more wishes, so that's fine.
Oh, yeah.
as long as one of the questions isn't, do you do anything other than Apple stuff here?
True.
Philip, tell them about what happened when you went to the Apple store, what you did, the one in Lincoln.
I can't really remember. Oh, I went in to... I walked into the Apple store, and this chap came up to me, and I said, can you show me a Retina display device, please? He went, sure, and took me over to this lovely-looking laptop thing. I went to my website, checked my icons. They looked great. Closed it down, said, thanks, mate, and walked out pretty much.
Nice. Awesome.
You see how much those things are? They're really expensive.
$2,500, $2,600 or something?
Yeah, in real money, that's like £1,000.
Yes, you're right, real money.
Face was priceless, though.
This is similar to everyone using brick-and-mortar stores just as a showroom and then going home and then buying stuff online.
Actually, to be fair to the guy in the shop, I did actually stay and have a bit of a chat with him. And he's an Ubuntu user himself, so he just works.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah. I thought that was quite impressive.
He's probably
running a load of servers.
He's probably an unemployed guy now, if any of his supervisors heard him say that to you.
No, well, obviously he'd be on like the sales floor doing nothing when he should be behind the Genius Bar, but they probably have no idea how smart the guy is.
You know, I'm waiting on the next big trend, the 22-inch laptop.
Sounds like a lot of weight to carry around.
I don't know, that's why you rely on Apple doing it, because they've got a knack of getting things nice and light,
I'm guessing you didn't see the laptop I was touting at Ogcamp then. What I tentatively referred to as my minilith. Oh, sorry, monolith, rather.
No, I didn't. I didn't see that. I was too busy running around. Was that? Have you got a 22-inch laptop then?
No, it was a 17-inch, I think it was.
Okay. Yeah, well, they've been around for a while. There's a 17-inch MacBook, isn't there? MacBook Pro.
Yeah, 17's the biggest ones that I've seen. I've never seen anything bigger than a 17. And at that point, you think, well, that's not really portable when you go bigger than that.
Mm.
Yeah, those things get certainly heavy, and they don't fit in any backpack.
On the way to Ogcamp, trying to figure out why all the bits and pieces were going wrong, and sort of trying to get that out on the train and connect to Wi-Fi and kind of try and have a conversation with my father-in-law at the same time. That was really interesting.
John,
sounds like fun.
I'm sure you had a little suitcase shaped like a penguin.
Yeah, and also one of the same bags that Canonical use as the official branded Ubuntu bags.
See, if you whip out a 17-inch laptop on the train, do you not get the impression the other passengers are looking at you going, he's compensating for something?
That's why when about a week after Ogcamp, that laptop decided not to boot anymore. I replaced it with a probably about 11-inch.
You know, there's an analogy in there as well. And if you look in your spam folder, you might find the solution.
You're a bad, bad man, you know, Thistlewell.
That's why I'm here. I'm fulfilling a mission. I'm fulfilling a role. That's why I'm here.
That's why I always take my pants off before I take my laptop out.
It's a wise move.
Got to disambiguate that.
Yeah, you get arrested for that on a train. Well, here anyway. Not that.
That's why us ladies can't park cars. Keep telling us it's 6 inches.
All right.
Oh, who brought all the dogs into the room?
So, Bill, going back to your sad news about the demise of the netbook, that's kind of good news, because you should be able to pick them up for peanuts on eBay.
I've actually been thinking, should I get like two and just put them up in the closet and I'll have them around, but the batteries they'll be crap in a year.
Well, actually, when you say that, there's in Argos just now, they've got an MSI Wind, which is, I think, it's the same one as I've got, or the newer version of the one I've got, 150 notes at the moment. That was before. I don't know if they've got it any cheaper in the sales, if they've even got a sale. But, before Christmas, 150 notes for an MSI Wind.
Well, maybe us geeks will just have to snap up what's left and let things move on.
We could use ARM-based tablets if you really must, but you could also see if they come out with any Atom-based tablets and use like a built-in keyboard case.
I saw, I can't remember where it was, I saw it now, but I saw a guy that had built a Beowulf cluster using Raspberry Pis and built the case using Lego. It was like a
I saw that. That was interesting.
It was like I think it was like 6 high and about 8 wide or something ridiculous like that. It was crazy.
Was that the Southampton University guy?
Yeah, that was the one.
Clearly not got enough work to do.
Well, no, it was for a university thing.
In that case, that's a hell of a job. How'd you get that job?
You study for years and years and years, and you never get out.
And you buy Legos.
Oh, I might pass them.
Lots and lots of Legos.
Sorry, I've got the Legos. I could do that. Can we have a start or stop of the recordings, please? Thank you, folks. Happy New Year to you all.
Ken just comes in like the when you're on the train. Mind the gap.
Why is that necessary, Ken? Ken Fallon, why is that necessary? I haven't stopped this recording all day.
Just to make it easier files to work with.
Editing.
Ken doesn't edit. He just slaps the intro and the outro on the ends.
Yeah, imagine smaller files.
Yeah, I think the reason I'm not that keen on ARM, I would rather see the netbook keep going, is that you can download any distro and install it on that. There's not a special ISO for... You know, you don't have to go out of your way to find a particular ISO for your exact make and model of hardware to install it. That's a pain in the arse with Android. It really is. If it goes the way of the tablets, then tablets are fun and all that, but that just makes it a hell of a lot of hassle.
That's changing, though. First off, I think they're trying to merge the various different ARM trees all together into one big one. And going onwards, all the 64-bit ARMs will be all in the same tree. So theoretically, you should be able to have one kernel to rule them all, at least going on in the future.
That would be sweet. I just got a ARM netbook called the Avatar Titan, and I kind of love it, but it is Android-based. But, I put ConnectBox on there so I could have SSH, and I'm kind of happy with it.
So that's one thing I wonder about all these different mobile operating systems, like, what is it, Mozilla OS or Firefox OS, and the latest of, you know, a different one from Migo or whatever. Is the thing is, when you buy like an Android phone, the only thing you're ever going to install on that is Android. You might root it and put a different ROM of Android, but it's still going to be
that
Android.
Firefox OS is based loosely on Android.
Yeah,
see, I want GCC, I want, you know, some of the user land space of a regular Linux system, and the power to control everything on it. So, I mean, that's why I like MIR better.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's a big point. I mean, I found out that, you know what, I'm going to have to keep my Pentium 4M mobile laptop, but that's my heavy one, and this thing weighs like a pound, and the other one weighs like, feels like a ton compared to it.
What I want is a full version of VLC running on something.
You could run VLC on top of MIR. It's a regular Linux stack.
I have no idea what MIR is.
Yeah, I haven't heard of MIR either. What is this?
Pipe Man, you can come up with your volume a little bit.
MIR, I got corrected earlier. It's meh.
Meh.
Merd. Right. Got it.
M-E-R.
Is that
meh.
French by any chance?
It's basically, the community continuation of Migo and the base for Jala's Sailfish OS and the ARM-based stuff that Plasma Active is using.
See, I still think Migo sounds like it was aimed at toddlers, you know. I mean, I could imagine the model of Migo PP, you know, and then the cloud service Migo PP now, you know.
Yeah, it does. Some of these names are getting ridiculous they're coming out with.
Oh, us Linux guys have named some crap in the past.
I found lately that I've been watching some television shows that I've downloaded and VLC on my laptop, and we put that at the end of the bed, and I've been using my Android VLC remote to control it, and really, I just want that on my TV. That's a great experience.
See, when you say Linux folk have named dodgy things in the past, that's true, but... Wasn't Migo one of the several things that was actually a corporate name? Wasn't it something like Nokia and Intel?
It was a merger between Nokia and Intel. MIMO is the original one, which was brilliant. Actually,
yeah, really yeah, yeah, exactly. So it's actually it's not just some dude's random project. It's actually some marketing people have sat down and go right, folks, get your coffees, got your thinking caps on, and come up with some really funky name that we can use. And they come up with Mego. You know,
yeah, it was Moblin and Mego and Moblin,
Moblin and MIMO together equals Mego apparently.
I'll tip a glass to MIMO.
Yeah, that was a great operating system. Basically, just Debian.
Moblin, actually, to be fair, Moblin might have been sort of trying to cash in on the whole Lord of the Rings thing, like Mobile Goblin or something. I don't know. Maybe I'm just guessing.
I can't remember why they called it Moblin.
Moblin along?
What was the company that did the Free Runner?
OpenMoco.
Ah, that's right. What happened to them?
They just went Mabel? Down in the flames. They couldn't get the thing to do. I'm not sure. They are trying to do a new version, yeah. But the original one, the Free Runner, or the Neo 1973, or whatever it was called for full name, I don't think it ever quite took off. By the time they got it to ready to market, the hardware was all out of date because it had taken 3 years to get to that point.
Moblin was short for Mobile Linux.
Oh.
Well, we should have guessed that, shouldn't we?
That makes perfect sense.
I feel dumb, too.
Someone mentioned a Firefox one. Is that Sail OS?
It's Boot to Gecko, isn't it?
Sailfish is Jala's on top of Amer.
Yeah, the Firefox is all HTML5, I believe. There's actually a demo of that you can download as a Firefox extension. I found that on one of the news sites like a month ago or something. It's like the 80-odd meg as an XPI file. You just run it in Firefox. It's quite funky,
you know,
actually.
It's 80 meg, though, don't you? It's basically a virtual box. You know the Android emulator? You get to do any Android development. It's the same thing as an XPI. Because basically, the Boot to Gecko uses the, I think it's the one of the Nexus, Android Nexus ROMs as its basis, stripped all the Java-based stuff off, and they've built the Firefox stack up on top of that. So you get all of the positives of having the Android OS bit at the bottom and then a new GUI on top.
You know,
I guess we'll see how it works out. Yes, it's going to be free software, open source. You can look at the source code for most of the apps. Just that it doesn't have like a traditional stack of of regular applications that most Linux users would be.
It does. It's not. The stack is it's a Linux kernel, but then it's basically everything from that point upwards uses the Gecko rendering engine. So they're exposing most of the normal stuff that you'd get to from like the proc directory or the sys directory as APIs. But the main thing that Mozilla are trying to do is to get those same APIs pushed into regular HTML browsers. So that,
I mean, can you have like
whatever platform
Bash
you're
terminal
on, you can always access
Bing Bong Bing.
Can you run a terminal inside of it?
Inside of what?
Firefox OS.
Guys, can I just interrupt you a second?
No. We're just coming up to the hour, and we've got 45 countries to welcome in the new year now. Are you ready for these?
Should have started sooner.
It's a very happy new year to
New Year.
To Germany, Norway, Switzerland, Austria, Poland, France, with exceptions, Netherlands, with exceptions, Sweden, Italy, Barcelona, Spain, Belgium, Denmark, Nigeria, Hungary, Croatia, Libya, Czech Republic, Slovenia, Slovakia, Luxembourg, Equatorial Guinea, Bosnia-Herzegovina, Angola, Cameroon, Algeria, Benin, Albania, Serbia, Gabon, Vatican City State, Chad, Liechtenstein, regions of the Congo Democratic Republic, San Marino, Monaco, Tunisia, Congo, Malta, Gibraltar, Kosovo, Macedonia, Republic of Montenegro, Central African Republic, Niger, and Andorra. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. I would have tripped over half of those names.
Happy New Year, Ken, if you're around. Because you weren't done, aren't you?
Happy New Year.
That's right, yeah. It's New Year for Ken, wherever he is.
He's blowing up his kids with pyrotechnics.
There you
right,
go.
Okay.
Otherwise known as letting Good off fireworks, just in case you're worried.
Right, okay.
So, getting back to our conversation, anyone use Kinect Box?
Well,
I've replaced Kinect
I've played
Box.
With that. Well, back on the Firefox thing for a second, I don't see any of these taking off, because what you've got is a mature apps store and lots of handsets that people can buy for iOS and for Android. I mean, Microsoft are struggling. They're pumping a ton of money into Windows Phone, and they're not doing well at all. Nokia have failed miserably. HP came in with the touchpad, and that failed miserably as well. They're not going to be able to get Firefox on devices for people to actually buy in stores that are going to hold up.
I don't think that's the point, though.
I really think you have a point there, ThistleWeb. I think it's going to go to just be Android or Apple. And I know it's going to be like people are going to be like boo hiss and stuff because we all know better. But you know what? We're all looking at the side of the production chain where it's mass marketing now, and that's what they're going to do to us. And we have to hope that we can hack what we want on our older devices when we're willing to possibly break them, because it's what the normal people want, and who can control those? They're jerks.
Well, this is the thing. Well, I don't think that what Mozilla have ever tried to do is to disrupt the marketplace. Certainly not since they've become the Mozilla Foundation. I think what they are trying to do is show the handset manufacturers, if you put all these APIs into your web browser, you can move more stuff to your web browser, which then means that if your developers develop for a single platform, which is HTML5 plus mobile extensions, which effectively is what Mozilla's writing, then you can deploy to every handset in one go rather than one handset.
Well, that's what they're going for in Qt 5 with Android and iOS ports.
Yeah, but that means that the application you're writing, you also have to deploy the same binary with compiled differently on
Qt
Quick, Android,
QML,
iOS.
JavaScript.
Yeah, but it's still Android binary, iOS binary. It's a Windows binary, it's a macOS binary, it's a Linux binary, it's an ARM binary, it's a blah, 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 blah binary. With an HTML5 application, you install a web browser, and the web browser provides the APIs for everything else.
And for the benefit of that, they then get to dump something that people recognize in Android, and install something and try to sell something to the customer that the customer doesn't recognize. Don't know what it is. It might be a benefit to the carriers, it might be a benefit to the OEMs, but the customer's going to look at that and go, it's not an iPhone, it's no Android. What is it? Where's all the apps? I don't care. Give
they're
me Android.
They're not selling it. This is the thing, they're not selling it.
That's
they're
what
not
Dell
trying
ran into.
To make, they're not trying to make the OS a platform to sell. What they're trying to make is a development platform to prove to developers and to prove to handset manufacturers that HTML5 is the way to go, because basically every single application that is available for Firefox OS will run on every single platform, and the code that drives those applications will always be visible using ViewSource, and that is what Mozilla are aiming for. They don't care whether HTC build a Firefox OS-based phone. They want a platform that shows what HTML5 can do at a phone layer.
You sold me. I think it sounds great. And even if it's not market competitive or whatever, I mean, it doesn't matter. It still sounds like a really, really powerful platform, even just for developers to be able to distribute their programs to more places.
It's a boon for the independent developer, but you have to remember that the corporate developers or the corporations that own those developers don't want their stuff to be open.
Yeah.
They want to lock down and keep everyone in an appliance mode so no one knows what's going on, so they can control their customers. That's the whole point of being a major corporation.
So maybe they're just trying to show... the consumer that this is the way we want our apps.
If you remember that when iOS first came out, they said, we're going to make every single application web-based. And it was only because of the limitations of the platform, they said, actually, we're going to let you write native applications as well. And that is what Mozilla are trying to do. They're trying to show that actually what Apple should have done was fix the platform.
Well, day late and a dollar short for that, though.
Well, the thing with Apple was that they had a two-tiered system. When they started out, they were the only ones that were allowed to have native apps. So they already had native apps. And they said, oh, yeah, you can only use the web app. So comparing the two at the time, the native ones were so much better and were able to do more.
Even if it's about showing customers and showing end users the benefits of open, I mean, most users don't know what open is. They don't care what open is. And the reason that Android works is they can go into a phone manufacturer and hold an iPhone side by side with an Android phone, and they hold up to each other. They compete on merit. People don't know what open or closed is. They go, I like this phone, or I don't like this phone. Exactly. So open doesn't matter. Closed doesn't mean anything to them.
Yeah, but it does to developers and people who want to become developers.
I don't know whether you're missing the point that I'm not trying to be antagonistic. I'm sorry. I don't think that Mozilla are doing what you think they're doing. They're not releasing a phone. They're not releasing a hardware device.
They're releasing a platform?
They're basically writing a platform. They're writing a Linux. So that it's up to someone else to say, I'm going to build an Ubuntu for phone.
Is it combined with Firefox?
So if you want to, and you had a regular Linux stack, you could just add the Firefox OS stack on top of that and be able to open up all the Firefox OS things.
Correct. Because, well, you can anyway. You've got Firefox installed on your laptop. The main thing that Firefox OS does is it makes things like the GSM chip API available to the browser. It makes the GPS chip API available to the browser.
Encode to Opus?
That stuff doesn't particularly matter.
Hey, guys. I could use a little help here. Can someone explain to my wife why there is no flash on her Nexus 7?
Because Adobe said that they didn't want to support any of the mobile devices, basically. You can install another browser which will download a flash package. It's called something along the lines of... it's called Xscope Pro. And when you install that, it says you have
sounds like
flash
a medical
installed.
Procedure.
Yeah, I know. You haven't got flash installed. Would you like me to download the flash installer files? And as soon as you say
the
yes,
right
to
answer
that,
to that is no.
Unpacks flash for your phone.
Or politics.
My wife is making funny faces at Klaatu. She didn't like the right answer.
Yeah, I think when it comes to the point where Adobe are just not giving two hoots about fixing vulnerabilities and fixing updates, that each new vulnerability that's found isn't fixed, it makes your phone or your tablet more and more and more susceptible to attack with every new update. And Google decided, screw it, we'll pull it, we'll protect our users and pull it. If you really insist on wanting to use it, you'll have to jump through hoops and get it some other way, but we're not going to help you infect yourself.
I think Adobe wants Flash to die as much as anybody else.
Yeah, I was going to say, haven't they given up on Flash anyway?
Yeah, that's a pretty funny place to be, because it seems like they've given up users.
Adobe were the ones that said, we're not making Flash available anymore. And Google went, all right, okay, fair enough then.
Yeah, Apple snubbed them. Apple were the first when Steve Jobs basically said, like, no flash device is ever going to appear on an iPhone or an iPad or something. That was a major smack in the face to Adobe. But after that, others seemed to have followed suit.
Were Adobe actually making any money out of flash? Because that usually explains a lot of things in the tech stream. Are they making money out of it? No, then they'll drop it.
They'll make money out of the development kits, out of the Adobe Flash Maker or Flash Creator or whatever it is. sell licenses for that, but they don't actually make money from the downloads.
Yeah,
the more people that have got it, the more people will make Flash videos and Flash sites and stuff like that, so they'll need the Flash developer kits.
They made their money. It's past tense.
My answer to my wife, I told her, is because Adobe is a bag of assholes. But maybe the question I should have asked is, does anyone know of a way for her to watch an Amazon flick on her Nexus 7?
Isn't there a download option for Amazon if you buy it?
There's the Prime streaming, but if the X GoPro.
You could download the Flash video onto a computer and then use MPlayer to convert it into something your phone understands.
Does Amazon have the app to play it?
They certainly have a store browser app.
Hang on, is this like the Amazon Love Film account thing where it's got DRM on it?
No, I...
DRM sucks more than Flash.
Yeah, I think it was their rental streaming service that she's trying to use on there. I was thinking I really should just install that tiny DLNA that Dimitri was talking about.
Yeah, it's a strange one because I think it's because obviously you can watch Love Film from a Kindle Fire HD, which is effectively, you know, it's an Android tablet, but there's no app that I can find for Love Film on the Nexus 7, so I don't know what's going on there.
No, bear
I don't think there is one.
Bear in mind, the Kindle Fire is barely, it's Android, but only just. It's been tweaked the hell out of by Amazon for Amazon's services. So you would kind of expect it to work with Amazon stuff.
Plus, yeah. They've got their own app store.
Yeah, for sure. But, you know, they've lost me as a customer now because I can't watch it on my Nexus 7.
Yeah.
Is there a service that you can watch movies on your Nexus?
Netflix
works.
Yeah.
To be fair, Netflix, the app's really good for Netflix as well. Both on the on Android and the consoles as well. The app for Netflix I found a lot better than, you know, the actual Love Film app, which is just shit.
I
cancelled my Love Film last night, so because the streaming was just goddamn awful, and also. The app just didn't compare to Netflix at all. It's like when you're watching a series on Netflix, you can watch one after another and then come back a month later and pick it up. But on Love Film, there was none of that. It was like you have to like physically remember what you'd watched, and I can't be asked to do that.
Yeah, sometimes resuming the same thing doesn't work, I found on Love Film. Sometimes just resuming something that you were watching, say, yesterday, it doesn't work anymore.
And Netflix is subscription only, right? You can't do like a one-time rental with them?
I don't know.
We might watch. Only. Yeah, we might watch one movie a month.
To be fair, with Love Film, it was. I think it was one of Amazon's worst moves, in that they bought a sucky company and added extra suck to it. I wouldn't bother too much.
We got rid of cable about 2 years ago, and I switched to. We have all Roku boxes, and I've been using Netflix exclusively. Along with Hulu Plus, and to be honest with you, I mean, we have Amazon Prime streaming on there as well, and we don't really miss anything.
Yeah, I'm right on the edge of doing this myself.
Hey, does Netflix still offer the DVDs sending to your house and whatnot in the U.S.?
Yes.
Hey, John, the nice guy. We're there, and it's telling her to download the Flash Player, and it's asking her what source to choose. It says XDA or Adobe. Do you have a recommendation?
I just went with Adobe, to be honest, but I don't know there's too much of an issue either way. I think it's more in case one of them stops working.
Fair enough. Thank you.
From which direction would you like your suck to come from?
Yeah, I know.
Hey, Pokey, what version of Android is that tablet running? Latest and greatest?
I haven't the foggiest. I could probably find out, though.
Also, I have to say, I have a Kindle Fire, the original one, and I don't really. I have Prime too, and I don't really watch movies on it. It's probably the least compelling thing to watch video on that versus surfing the web on that while watching Amazon or something on my Roku.
I use my tablet exclusively for listening to LinuxOutlaws.com.
So you're saying check the in answer the post. She's holding her movie the wrong way.
All right. Well, I didn't mean to. I didn't mean to come across like that. I was just anecdotally sharing my experience with my Kindle Fire.
I'll try watching a movie on a fuse.
Does linuxoutlaws.com still work? I thought it was sixgun.org these days.
I think it redirects. I'd have to check again. I'm fairly certain it still redirects, though.
Oh, Christ, I'm going to get sacked for misbranding, aren't I?
I don't think Linux Outlaws runs on my Kindle.
They're too badass.
Yeah. Just too bad. Just too bad, I think.
Sorry. I added a word.
That thump you heard was Dan falling off his chair going, what? What? That can't happen.
I was only joking. I only listen to Linux Outlaws on Android. I use my Android phone for all my podcasts.
Yeah, me too. I use Beyond Pod, which is a freedom-hating one, but it's very good.
Me as well.
That's also what I use.
I'm on Pocket Casts.
I use Pocket Casts, which...
I hear a lot about that Pocket Casts. It's supposed to be good.
Yeah, Fab recommended it to me at Og 11, I think it was, and yeah, I'll get on well with it. But I think it's a paid-for one. So, Bayou sucks, I think, is the answer.
I'm still using wget.
Good man.
Now that's hardcore.
I feel a bit left out, to be honest.
The command line's the only way to go.
You were just an inch away from Linux from scratch, aren't you there?
I wrote a podcatcher in assembly for 8088.
Nice.
Nice.
Sweet.
I'd like that.
You could use Bashpodder, Phil, if you want to be in the terminal.
Yeah, no, it's too difficult, mate.
I used Bashpodder for a long time, and I'm basically retarded.
Yeah, no, I have tried Bashpodder, actually. It's pretty good. But I don't tend to... I think I do it in an odd way. I tend to subscribe to stuff in Google Reader, and then when I see that there's a new release, I right-click on the link, copy it, and then paste it into the terminal after wget, and then listen to it. I don't know why I do that.
So you are a manual podcatcher, is what you're telling us. You're manually podcatching stuff.
I do it.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
So when I'm on a podcast, I can just have you get it for me and send it over?
Yeah.
I do a similar thing with I scan the streams with Linux Feed Reader, and then I copy and I use ARIA 2 instead of wget, so I'm basically doing the same thing as you are, but I don't listen to every single podcast in a series. That's why I do it, so I have a reason, I guess.
Well, and I've started actually using, I've got another reader here called Feed on Feeds that I've got on my domain. And the reason I've got my podcast feeds in there is because I can actually get to that from work. So I can actually listen to stuff at work if I want to. And I can kind of scan through and look at more feeds because I actually pull down all the podcasts off of Internet Archive. So I can kind of scan through those as well.
Yeah, I think my wget. Addiction stems from when I had, for years, I had a really bad internet connection on like a dongle, and it would, you know, I'd download Linux Outlaws and it would take me an entire morning. So, you know, often it would break and wget could resume it, and I think I just stuck with it.
Phil, that basically means you've declared yourself as an RSS reader with shoes.
I thought you could have said socks. That would have worked so much better if you said an RSS reader with socks.
Oh, yeah. Real proxy.
Hey, John, my wife said thank you, and I have to thank you too because I think you got me some cuddle time with her later on.
Uh-huh. Ooh.
Steady on.
So the reason I like ARIA 2 over wget, and I think Mr. Klaatu is a wget guy too, if I'm not mistaken, but ARIA 2 includes a torrent client in it, so I can just do everything from there as far as I'm concerned.
The reason I switched to BeyondPod was because... sorry, I didn't mean to derail the conversation because I know Klaatu was mentioned, but the reason I switched to BeyondPod is because Listen sucked so bad, but it used Google Reader, and it was really easy to subscribe to things when I'm at the desk and then have it download onto my phone.
I'm a Google refugee. I'm now a DuckDuckGo man myself. I try to stay away from those guys.
That sounds like a new service, Google Refugee.
I bet we're just coming domain, next year. Huh?
DuckDuckGo and Yasi are my defaults now.
Yep. What's that other one, Yasi?
Yasi. Yasi is actually a search one. Yeah, it's a distributed search engine. You can actually download the client and put it on your machine and actually run it and build your own web index. And you actually can share it with a whole bunch of other people, like kind of like a torrent sharing. It's kind of neat.
Oh, you so have to do an HPR episode on how to do that.
It's the ideal service for whistleblowers.
Speaking of torrents, did Cobra 2 want to talk?
Oh, are you biting at the hook for me to get on here?
Heck yeah.
He just knows Cobra 2 always wants to talk about torrents.
I love torrents, man. It's the way of the future and the past, and it's how you get busted by the MPAA.
Yeah, how are we going to avoid six strikes, Cobra 2?
Me? Private trackers, not being on the wrong private tracker, using a, not being stupid with what you download.
That sounds like you have to be able to infiltrate a network of predefined torrent people who are all on the same private tracker, right?
Or you just have to know somebody.
Objection, leading the witness.
Hey, this is not a prosecution.
Or you just run the dang thing yourself.
So, well, no, I think where he was going with that, and I've wondered about this, is are they going to ping you for the six-strike rule? Are they going to ping you for using BitTorrent or, you know, for using the protocol? Or are they going to look at what you're actually torrenting and ping you for copyright infringement?
I don't really think they have to think about it that hard.
All right, as far as I know, this is how getting tracked down through BitTorrent works. You have every individual torrent has a torrent hash, right? And that's as you download pieces, they're checked with a SHA-1 hash. So to verify that you're not sending bad pieces to people. So what happens is you'll have these malicious clients that will connect to a swarm, and they will download pieces of a torrent of a that is either has been submitted by, you know, to one of the agencies themselves trying to get people to, you know, to download it, or they will have verified that the torrent actually has copyrighted content in it. How they do that is in the gray area. So what they actually do is, like, when they connect to the swarm and start downloading a piece or two from this peer and this peer and that peer, and they see who has every single piece, they can identify the IP addresses of those clients, and they will pull just down a piece or two and check and make sure that the piece passes the hash check, which lets them know that that peer has the actual goods and is not just seeding dummy data.
Okay, that makes sense. So doing Creative Commons stuff should not earn you a strike.
Oh, hell no. If you're doing Creative Commons stuff, seeding BitTorrent distros or anything like that, you're sweet and in the clear.
Well, I've actually been kind of worried about that a bit, like false positives and stuff. But
yeah, I know it shouldn't ping you, but I mean it shouldn't ping you.
You know, given how many times you hear on YouTube of one of the major record labels saying, "Oh, we own that, take it down," when they don't own it.
Yeah. One was like birds chirping in the background.
Yeah, I was about downloading a techno piece, and somebody had me in the tracking database, but it wasn't anything I got pinged for. It was just some demonstration thing for some company that wanted to break into that business. I mean, what a nice goal in life, but geez, you know, it's just a little scary.
You nerds are focusing on the least interesting part of this torrent tracker.
Have you checked out youhavedownloaded.com if it's still up?
Yeah, it was like you have downloaded, but, you know, that's the thing, you know. I mean, us nerds aren't chasing the latest Hollywood blockbusters. I mean, Keanu Reeves puts out another movie. We're not going to be downloading a BitTorrent, right?
I definitely won't, that's for sure.
Well, it sounds like everyone in here has seen every Keanu Reeves movie there is. So, yeah, apparently, yes.
Nice. We're like Howard Stern fans who hate Howard Stern. We keep watching it compulsively.
I was interested, you know, I was interested in the tracker more than anything as a chance for people to get their content out there, creators. Like, there's three albums up there right now.
Oh, yeah, I didn't even say that I run it, did I?
You didn't say anything about it.
Oh, yeah, I'm supposed to announce on this show sometime that I have a private tracker for Creative Commons content, and it's very buggy, but the tracker works, and I'm just kind of working through the kinks right now. I'll post a link in the Mumble chat and get so that folks can register, but it's buggy as hell.
So So is getting video stuff off of news groups like, you know, Passé now or something? No one does it anymore but me?
No, I do that as well.
I think I read somewhere that the news groups are shutting down, though.
They do that every 2 or 3 years, man.
This time I believe them. I thought the world was ending.
No, they're just getting hammered with some very large DMCA takedowns and whatnot. But if you've got something that's grabbing your content, you know, within 2 or 3 days of it getting put on the news groups, you're fine. If you're running your own indexer, you know, it's no big deal. NewsNab is free and open source.
I think you were just listening to the Mayan news groups there.
Excellent. That was a joke I was attempting to make.
Happy New Year, everyone.
Hey, we still don't know.
Happy New Year, Ken.
Is it poor taste?
Happy New Year, Ken.
I'll be back in a while.
Is what poor taste?
I want to know if it's just considered poor taste to wish a Mayan Happy New Year.
Didn't we go over this already?
I saw someone posting on, I can't remember which channel, which service it was now, that they said, I really hope that the predicted end of the world happening doesn't happen when our calendar resets on the 31st of December, like the Mayans did on the... Oh, hang on a second.
I just want to find a fatalist sometime tonight and wish them Happy New Year. That's all I want to do.
I think with the Mayan thing, makes me think of the rapture, and I think the rapture, if it actually happened, would be hysterical. I mean, can you imagine driving down the parkway and the guy in the car next to you just goes to the roof of his car up to heaven and his car swerves off the road? It would be hysterical.
The rapture did happen. It's in the record books. It was done by Blondie. Check it out. 1981. Yeah, I know.
Rapture, feet floor.
Fab Five Freddy.
Deep Geek, why do you assume it's not you getting sucked up to heaven? Your car might drive and might veer into his.
Oh, come on. If you leave the whole person going through the roof of the car, that was called texting and driving.
Hey, now, I mean, this is some company I don't want to keep. You know that, Pokey?
So, not to change the subject again, but going back to what did somebody say that there was a podcatcher that had a torrent client built into it?
I know there's a torrent client that has an RSS feed reader built into it.
What is that?
KTorrent has a plugin for that.
Okay, because I mean, I really think that that's kind of the missing link for podcasts. That's what's going to push them over the edge and make them the new radio, literally the new radio, is just for people to have a BitTorrent of them. You know what I mean?
If you're popular,
you could do that off
a
fairly short shell script, surely.
I think would do good.
Used to have that built in.
What did?
iPodder X before they stopped supporting Linux.
That would be great if you had that actually on like a phone or a tablet device where it had BitTorrent support built into the actual downloading protocol.
Is this surely not just regex the feed in cron and then just pipe that to your torrent? Surely.
Where's regex? Did you just reg me, bro?
Hey, whatever happened to BT Live? Is that dead? I haven't checked lately. That's where BitTorrent's streaming.
I saw something where you could use magnet links to try to stream files, and they had like a sort of a KDE Keo magnet to try to use magnet and BitTorrent files almost as if they were on your device.
That was going to be my next question, is if you had... if you were to publish a podcast and do it via BitTorrent with like a magnet link, I mean, then just your listening community takes care of the rest, right? I mean, you keep seeding it, but they share the heavy lifting. I mean, that's what's supposed to happen with BitTorrent.
There's one issue with that
that I can see. If you're relying on that as your primary method or your only method of distribution, I can see an issue with that. And it's every podcast, with a few exceptions, are time sensitive. So your audience is not going to share. Look at Linux Outlaws. They put out an episode every week, or maybe more than one a week. Who's going to share the last one, when the new one comes out, they'll share it maybe for a week. They'll
Dan
shoot
and
it for
Fab.
A week.
That's yeah, all so, you need.
Yeah, so basically, once there's a new episode out, the older ones, people won't be seeding them anymore, so they would have to go into some archive anyway.
That's what the org is for.
I don't know
unless
if that's
you
true,
have,
though.
If you have one torrent that has, like, the whole back catalog, you might have people swarming that. Like, if you had 2011's archive, and when someone's going back, they would go through and download each of the years, and people still might be seeding it if it was all together, but they might not seed it if it was just individual.
What do you think about that, Clef? Because I know you have your old back catalog up on your server.
The other thing you have to remember with torrents is part of the specification actually does allow for a file that's being seeded to exist on the server.
Well, I was under the impression that with a torrent, you effectively create, or the program somehow creates like an MD5 sum of that complete package so that you can add to it. If you're saying all of 2012 so far, and then you add another episode to it, you can't actually add that onto the same torrent. You need to create a new torrent with all that new stuff and the new one in it, which means it'll be differently seeded, you know?
Another problem. It's a SHA-1 hash, and yeah, you're exactly right. If you do something as simple as like changing the tag of the file, you've changed the file, so it's no longer the same file that was in the torrent.
Yeah, but that's really okay, because most people who have an RSS reader or a podcatcher or whatever they're using to get their podcasts, those things refresh at most every 12 hours. So you really only need to run the thing for a week. Everybody gets what they need to get. And then the torrent thins out just like any other torrent. And you still have the original on your own server, or you put it on archive.org or, you know, some such thing. And there's still torrent trackers that are going to seed it just so that they have the media. I mean, just because it's a podcast doesn't mean no one's going to seed it. It's just... you know, I mean, I think that's the way for a show like Hacker Public Radio specifically, where, you know, however many listeners we have is interesting to know, but it's not really critical. We're not trying to monetize it or anything like that. You know, that's where I think that spreading that load out would help. You know, the servers wouldn't cost as much, you know, and everybody really could be a part of every part of HPR at the same time.
One thing that you're probably overlooking is that some countries, the ISPs heavily throttle the BitTorrent traffic, so that they might make it impractical in some countries.
And not only that, but some public networks, universities, colleges, and whatnot, they completely block BitTorrent traffic.
Yeah, so I think you have a great point, Pokey, and with something with Hacker Public Radio, with the amount of listeners that it has, it's really useful. But for smaller podcasts, and still in general, I think it's good to have it as a supplemental way of getting it out than the main.
Well, but a lot of podcasts as well, especially techie podcasts, they are time sensitive. There's only a certain amount of time while that information is valid. I came to Log Radio just as it was nearing its end, and it's like fifth season or something like that, and I thought it was brilliant. But go back and look at that now, or listen to an episode now. I mean, it's entertaining, but there's not much news value in, predictions. What do we think is going to come in Ubuntu 6.10, you know? It's not exactly something that's valid now.
Yeah, but those are news-based shows. I mean, a lot of Hacker Public Radio and... you know, GNU World Order episodes aren't really news-based. They're just like, here's a cool tip, and those tend to remain valid. Look at Linux Reality. A lot of those episodes are still valid.
Yeah, I was going to mention True. Linux Reality. That's still really popular. I still direct people to that for, you know, specific topics.
Yeah, it's a good reference.
What I would like to know about torrent is I would like to know if using magnet links and the so-called torrentless tracking or trackerless torrenting, is that true? Can you really like avoid being tracked because of magnet links?
Well, if you create a magnet link, you can actually create it without a tracker in the actual tracker space. You can do that, but any time I've tried, it doesn't connect to anything. So as far as I can work out, it needs a tracker. But yeah, if you download stuff through torrents, if you download the magnet link and you look in that box and the properties, it's empty. So obviously it can be done, I just don't know how to do it.
I think magnet links only work well if there's like a decent amount of people, more than just the regular torrent file. So if you had like at least over 50 people seeding it, then it might be decent. But if you had less than that, you might want just the regular torrent file. It might be quicker.
Well, you need just to be able to connect to one person, but it's so hard with a magnet link to find the right one person who has all their shit configured right that you can actually connect to them and download from them. And there's so many people that just use that uTorrent or whatever and shut off their upload completely. And by the time you connect to them, they've choked you out so bad that you can't even download from them.
Hey, I need to interrupt here for a second. We're approaching 50 listeners here, which would be about two-thirds of our total capacity. And it looks like about two-thirds of the people in the room are just muted, and some are even muted and deafened. If folks are just in the Mumble to listen, could you please log out of Mumble and use one of the streams instead. I know the sound quality is not quite as good, and I know there's a little bit of a delay, so it makes feedback in the IRC a little tougher. But the last thing we want to do is crash the server or have that kind of problem going on tonight. So I just ask if you're just listening, just please hop onto a stream instead.
Hey, I just helped Drew get in here to talk. So do it now, Drew.
So yeah, I gotta say goodbye because I gotta go catch up with my in-laws. But thanks, guys, and I'll be listening to the whole week this whole stuff comes out. It's been a lot of fun to talk to you guys all live for a change.
Deep Geek, we love you. Happy New Year, and enjoy yourself.
Take it easy, Deep Geek.
Yeah, see you later,
I'll be
Deep
leaving
Geek.
Again, too.
Good. Happy 2013.
Thanks, all.
See you, man.
Okay,
take
bye.
Care, Deep Geek.
See you. Happy
New Year. Happy New Year.
Something I wanted to say about news shows is some that do news on the side, something kind of interesting I've seen, and I'll use Radio Freak America for this one. It's really kind of interesting when those shows loop back around in the tech world.
Yeah, that is cool. And by the way, I didn't mean to say that people had to leave. If you're going to unmute and start talking, by all means, that's why we're here. You know, that's why we wanted people in on it. I didn't mean to scare people off with that.
You're the Grim Reaper of HPR.
The anti-Ken Fallon.
The anti.
And on that bombshell, I'm going to drop off as well because I've got relatives and stuff. I need to phone and stuff. But I will be back probably around about 12:30. Maybe a little bit later, guys.
Happy New Year, John.
See you at Hog Camp coming near you soon.
And everybody listen to CC Hits.
Yeah, do that. And when I come back, I'll talk about that more, because I can't beat beating my own drum.
I've heard that.
Yeah, that's good, man. I had to talk about it for you last year.
You beat Mozilla's drum pretty well earlier, mate.
Wasn't that the name of one of their projects? Anyway, I'm going to go now. I'll see you later, guys.
See you, John.
See ya.
Dan, can you tell us about Linux Outlaws Live?
Yeah. Let me think. Yeah, you've not put me on the spot there. It's I'm just trying to remember the date. It's the 17th of February. Probably mainly of interest to the UK listeners, because if you guys want to fly over from other parts of the world, you'd be more than welcome, but I don't know how many people would be able to do that. So it's the 17th of February. It's in Liverpool. It's our 300th episode, which is why we're getting people together. And we're going to do a show in front of a kind of audience, a small audience. I think there's about 100 tickets available, something like that. We haven't actually put them on sale yet. They're going to be about £5, £5, so hopefully nice and cheap for everyone. And all money that we comes in will go to the Software Freedom Conservancy and support their work, enforcing the GPL and generally supporting freedom. There's a page on the Linux Outlaws website. If you go to sixgun.org, I think it's /lol, LOL. Yeah, we tried really hard with that name. I think that's where it is, but I'll find a link now.
Yeah, the finale of the show is Fab and Dan doing the "you can leave your hat on" thing. Stripogram.
Yeah, it might be, yeah. Depends how much money we get.
You didn't set up the high-speed rail from New York yet, did you?
No, not yet, unfortunately. I don't know if you get on a boat now. If you get on a ship right now, you'd be here in time.
Yeah, I'll start rowing.
Dan, will you be streaming it?
No, probably not. It will be recorded, but no, it won't be live streaming because the idea is to try and get people to come along. But it will be released afterwards as a podcast.
I want to know why people think just because an event is live streamed that people wouldn't actually go to it. I'm really getting tired of that. It just seems like kind of bullshit.
Oh, no. If he live streams it, I'm not going.
Well, normally I would agree with you, and I have had that argument with people from the other side. I just haven't had time to think about streaming it at the moment. I haven't sorted the tickets out yet. I don't know. We haven't really discussed it. My kind of feeling is it probably won't be, but I don't know exactly yet.
But if Dan's going to have to look at it, I'm up for it.
Yeah, the whole I just don't have time is a hell of a lot more believable than, oh, if I can't go to, if we live stream this, people won't go to it. The experience is always different being somewhere in person versus watching it recorded.
To be fair to Dan, when he does his Rat Hole Radio, his live shows, he always streams them. So
yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I don't think it's anything, malicious.
Oh, I wasn't meaning that to be an attack on Dan per se.
Oh, no, I wouldn't. Yeah, no.
Everyone's going to be backing away now.
Calling bullshit didn't mean bullshit.
Do you think you will actually sell all of the 100 tickets to the UK-based listeners?
I've got no idea. I hope so, but I've really got no idea.
Feels like you would, but maybe, I don't know. It's hard to know where your fan base is, whether it's all in the UK or just global,
I think it's mixed, yeah.
I mean, we said the same sort of things before Odd Camp 1, and look what happened there.
Will Bubbleino be there?
Yeah, Bubbleino probably will be there, actually.
Well, positionally in the UK, Liverpool has to be cheaper than in the way down the south for people. It also has to be more kind of central for people from all over the country rather than just going to one corner,
I think so, but what it's like? Everybody always wants it in their backyard, and they always complain that it's not in their backyard.
Well, it's if you drive to Liverpool, you've got to buy new tyres after they steal them, so...
Pack some spares.
There's Zoke.
I thought they just stole your hubcaps.
Hey, I'm a southerner. I've got to take the piss out of Liverpool.
Yeah, get a train.
Actually, there needs to be a mod for Grand Theft Auto to turn it into Grand Theft Liverpool and have little animations of guys stealing hubcaps for bonus points.
I think there is one somewhere.
Grand Theft Scouse.
Liverpool is such a bad press.
Yeah, it's an unjustified...
it's a beautiful city.
Yeah, it's so weird. I didn't feel any threats at all when I was over there. It's
and
a nice
I'm
place.
A southerner.
Actually, if you were going to do a video game that represented Liverpool crime, you'd have to change the name completely. You'd have to change it to something like, "Hey, fucking Liverpool."
I
had a joke in mind about some little crossing somewhere where if you happen to go down it at the right time, you've got four of the Beatles walking across so you can mow them down for extra points. But that was Abbey Road and was it London, I believe? Abbey Road is not actually Liverpool. So, but
it's in London, yeah. Although, you're saying about having a bad reputation and that, and I think it's true that reputation's not really fair, but this year we did have, I thought they were joking, but people told me they'd been offered DVDs in the pub. Some Chinese man coming around offering them, basically copyright, pirate DVDs. And I thought they were joking, and I was like, oh, very funny, very funny. And then he offered me DVDs, and I thought, oh, okay.
We get that on car boot sales all the time. Trading standards are always raiding the car boot sales around here because we're so close to the ports.
I even saw a guy walking around with a computer in the bar.
Yeah, in a carrier bag, yeah.
If it wasn't for that brisk sale on DVDs and videos and stuff like that, the bars wouldn't exist. Tell you, it just wouldn't exist.
True.
Becky, you're a southerner?
Yes, I'm from Hampshire.
She's a foreigner.
She's
from the Isle of Wight.
Foreigner. Just for me, because it's like my favorite line ever, or one of them anyway, could you say fucking northern monkeys?
Fucking northern monkeys.
Is this a Lockstock reference, is it?
Yeah.
Where is that from, man?
It's Lockstock and Two Smoking Barrels, the film. There's that bit where there's the two Scousers in it. And he goes, and as they're walking away, the Cockney guy goes, back in Northern Monkeys, or something like that. And then they both
that's
go,
East London
Fairies.
My
yeah, London's fucking where I'm from.
Northern Monkeys.
There you go.
That movie was great. It's got that's top 10.
It's the way he says he asked them to steal some shotguns, and then one of them goes, what, you mean like guns that fire shot?
Yeah.
I can see you're the brains of the operation.
Actually, there's a reply to fucking Northern Monkeys, because he actually says it about a bunch of two lads from Liverpool as he's walking away from the conversation. As they're sitting there, as he's walking away, there he goes, I hate these southern shandy-drinking bastards.
Southern fairies, it is.
Southern fairies,
Southern
yeah.
fairies. Yeah.
Oh, they say that at some point in the movie, don't they? Shandy-drinking bastards.
There's a few in there, yeah.
You know, Dan, when you said that, Southern Fairies, it was almost Welsh.
Well, Wales is south of you, I suppose. Kind of south of me as well.
Yeah.
And kind of northwest of my old house.
I can say Wales from here.
I think I saw that.
I could do that. I could go to the beach and see Wales, literally.
That movie had Brad Pitt in it, right?
No, that's Snatch. That's the...
Okay. All right, that's the one I'm thinking of. Because he was...
It's a Guy Ritchie film, though.
Also a good movie, as was Rock and Roller.
But I would just like to ask some of the Brits, was Brad Pitt on that movie doing some type of accent, or was it just...
Did I kill
it
or just get...
Like, ridiculous.
He was a pikey, I think.
He's supposed to be a gypsy with an Irish accent.
A proper Irish pikey, yeah.
Okay. Irish Robin Bastard.
And how did his accent... I couldn't understand half of it.
Yeah, that's why it was so good.
No, I think that's the point.
I thought he was brilliant in that movie. I really did. But then again, Brad Pitt's excellent in everything he does, really. So
he's a good actor. Yeah, he's a good actor.
Yeah, he is a good
actor. That's like,
yeah.
Is it Leonardo DiCaprio doing a dodgy Irish accent in like the Gangs of New York
that
films?
That was bad,
that
though. That was worse.
Probably
that was worse, that accent.
The worst one was Sean Connery in Untouchables. That was appalling.
Well, he didn't even try and be like anything. He's just Sean Connery, isn't he, and everything.
Sean Connery doing a Russian accent.
Yeah, exactly. That was my thing. You know,
Hunt for Red October.
Yeah, exactly. This is supposed to be a Russian. You don't hire a Scot and speak in English. You know,
exactly.
You just don't do that.
I like in the Guy Ritchie movies when he uses subtitles. That just cracks me up.
Mm.
And it's helpful. It works.
I wonder how many times he's been asked whether he's had a stroke or not.
Who's that?
Sean Connery.
So. On Brad Pitt, anyone planning on seeing World War Z when that hits?
That was filmed in Scotland, wasn't it?
I've got no idea.
Yeah, they filmed a lot of the street scenes. Is it it's either Glasgow or Edinburgh. It represents, there's quite a good likeness to an American city, apparently.
Because it's grid-based, isn't it?
Yeah. Something to do with it. It's got nice wide streets and stuff. So.
Yeah, but Milton Keynes is grid-based as well.
It lacks the character that the Scottish towns have.
Just a bit.
Apparently, it's one of Scotland's main sources of income, is renting out their streets to Hollywood film producers.
And their castles.
Really?
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, the Harry Potter was, a lot of that was filmed in Scotland.
I found it hilarious that they filmed large parts of Captain America in Liverpool. You know that?
Oh, did they?
And Sherlock Holmes. Sherlock Holmes as well, and I forget, there's been loads of stuff filmed. Whenever they need docs certain age, they always come to Liverpool.
Well, on Captain America, that makes sense, since about half that movie or more happens in Europe.
Yeah, but it's meant to be New York. There's a bit where he's chasing the guy down the street, and they're supposed to be in Brooklyn, and you can see they've superimposed the Brooklyn Bridge with CGI on the Dock Road in Liverpool, because I was watching it going, that's the Dock Road in Liverpool, as he's walking, running down it, and they've kind of CGI'd the bridge on behind him.
Yeah, also, Britain's not Europe, right?
Not yet.
Depends
what mood we're in.
Yeah, you've got Braveheart filmed on Ireland as well.
We've only got 12 hours on that podcast left, so you don't want to start that conversation up right now.
Yeah, right on.
Well, then, maybe for things that'll cause other flame wars, anyone brought up the whole countdown on Ubuntu.com Woo-hoo! Right now?
My husband, constantly.
I think we've got a session over this going on.
I would like to get Dan's input on this, seeing as he's a man in the know and Linux news and all that. He should have a fairly good educated guess.
What's coming out in 42 hours, Dan? Because Philip wants it.
What's coming out? I have no idea.
Popey just jumped in the IRC channel.
Ubuntu switching to GNOME.
Popey would know. Popey would be the man to ask. He'll probably sign on.
Yeah, we need to get Popey on the show here. So we can actually...
Teasers.
So we can actually cross-examine here.
I think we would just start a big rumor, and then like someone pretend to be Popey, he'd like to confirm it, just see how far we can get. So Ubuntu switching to Windows 8 as the base. Yeah, that'll work.
It's bound to be some kind of touchscreen-based device, because they've put the line, you can almost touch it on the page, which is just got to be some kind of touchscreen device.
When you can almost touch it, that's just like a touch interface with the bugs not quite ironed out yet.
It's a tablet where it doesn't even have a resistive screen. You have to use a mouse with it.
Means it's a new Prawn app.
They could almost open a whole new line of lap dancing clubs with that, couldn't they? You can almost touch it, but not quite.
It's 3D Prawn. That's what it is. It's 3D Prawn.
Yeah,
folks who continuously punch their computer screens so they actually feel like they're hitting something.
That's what it is. It's Unity getting a 3D overhaul, so you actually need to wear 3D glasses to use your computer.
Wow.
I don't know. In the end, it just seems like Ubuntu's trying to once again play catch-up with the big boys because, you know, Apple releases hardware, Google's doing hardware, Microsoft started doing hardware, and Ubuntu's like, oh shit, to be taken serious, we've got to do this too to catch up.
Somebody just put it in the IRC channel, you can almost touch it, .xxx.
Nice. Someone also just put in the IRC channel, it's about 4.5 minutes to UTC midnight. So that's a big one. That's halfway through the show.
Yep, it is.
I've got my 25 countries lined up to read out. Shall I start now?
It's like Eurovision. It's great.
Nilpois.
Nilpois. No surprise there.
You're going to have a hard time reading out those local places without trying to give the weather while you're at it.
It's raining.
Yeah, that's easy.
Shocker.
It rains over there?
Oh, the bloody time. We've had a year of it. In fact, they called a drought in, what, March, April time? And it's done nothing but piss it down ever since.
We've had a lot of floods since that drought, haven't we?
That's typical English summer. They announce a drought just before they announce the floods.
I like the fact when sometimes you get a hose pipe ban and a flood warning at the same time.
Yeah.
I always wonder what that's about.
All the water's just in the wrong spot. I mean, that's just... Well, and then the hose pipe bans are stupid because they're like, you can fill your swimming pool up, but you're not allowed to water your lawn.
I just had to work that out in my head. What the heck is a hose pipe? And I'm working on it. I got it.
they just don't want you adding to the problem, Dan.
Maybe. I did hear someone say to me once, because it's the wrong type of water. There's only one type of water.
Well, technically, there are two.
Perrier and Evian.
You can have heavy water as well. So there's H2O and then
H2O. Oh, well, maybe.
Yeah, H2O.
If you're watering your garden with that, I suppose you're probably doing something wrong.
Well, actually, it makes no damn difference. It's all water has a small amount of heavy water in it. It's not, you know. Anyway, enough science for the day.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard water and soft water, Dan. They don't want you pumping that out with the water softener.
Maybe.
I hate to pull the conversation away from water, the weather, and what were we talking about before? Oh, movies. But
you better wait for New Year's, dude.
I just wanted to say real quick, because Cobra was announcing that CC tracker, if you go check it out, you know, not just for podcasts, there is an ability to create an RSS feed out of torrents, so you can do some podcasting. But there's also, you know, I added three torrents. I added two torrents, and Stu's added one. So there's three albums up there. Stu's is from Australia. He has kind of a hard rock album up there. Some really great music, but also some more funky stuff. Lee Dyer, who's also goes musically as Newman, has an album up there of electronica music. And then Mike Holstein, the former co-host of Open Source Musician podcast, has a jazz upright bass album on there that's fantastic. So I just wanted, because that was an announcement for HPR, get that all in there.
10 seconds.
Okay,
we're doing a countdown.
Happy New Year to United Kingdom. Hooray! Portugal, hey, Morocco, yeah. Islands, regions of Spain, Iceland, Ivory Coast, Mali, Togo, Senegal, Gambia.
Happy New Year.
Faroe Islands, Guinea-Bissau, Isle of Man, Isle of Wight, regions of Greenland, St. Helena, Mauritania, Guinea, Western Sahara, Ghana, Burkina Faso, Sierra Leone, and Liberia. Happy New Year, everyone. And to my husband, who I love very much.
Happy New Year to him.
Happy New Year. Switching Great Britain.
And Happy New Year to Popey.
Oh,
yeah. And he's in the ISC. He won't come in here, though.
And happy birthday to my doggy, Jerry, who's 1 year old now.
And is that someone?
Awesome. Are you some idiot, Big Ben? Is that black guy? You've either got your television on very loud. Oh, I see. I was going to say you're somewhere outside Big Ben.
Nice.
I must say that sums up New Year's for me, hearing Big Ben. Then you could go to bed.
Welcome back, Ben.
Popey said he's going to pop in a minute. He's getting Mike.
Oh, yeah, cool. Also.
Sure.
Also, happy anniversary to Door to Door Geek. That's why he's not here, actually.
Is Popey going to spill the beans?
He's going to defend Ubuntu.
From what?
From our ribbon earlier on.
I feel bad, yeah. Seems like they're always defending.
All right, back to Pipe Man and his torrent tracking. Sorry, Pipe Man, we had to cut you off.
Oh, no worries.
I need to add that there's another guy on there, ZTH Music. He hasn't put up a torrent yet, but he did join, and he was trying to get some information out of me as to how to create a torrent to put up his stuff.
Oh, cool. I just wanted to also add that all three of those albums are completely recorded in Linux.
Excellent.
And right, Stuzz's is pretty dang cool. His was all done in that February thing where they did a whole album in February, which was pretty crazy.
It's called the RPM Challenge, yeah.
Are you also seeding the Media Sprint number 2?
Not yet.
Oh, that's a fair point.
Or Media Marathon, I think it should be called.
No, I actually pulled that down this morning. I haven't uploaded it yet because I honestly don't know how to get it up there. I don't know what to categorize it as. I haven't created that yet.
I think I probably brought it up at the wrong time because it sounds like Klaatu's not in front of his computer just now.
I am. I just was not listening.
I was trying to segue into the great media marathon.
Wait, you're trying to segue off of my torrent shit into that?
No. I was asking if you were seeding it, because it ought to be up on there.
Yeah. Actually, I did ask Cobra 2 if I could put it up there, and he said he had no interest. No, actually, at the time I asked, it wasn't ready to host torrents or something. He was still working on it, so it'll go up there soon.
Hey, guys. I'm going to get off now. I'm going to get some Kip, I think. So it's been nice chatting to you. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Phil.
Happy New Year.
Hi, Phil. Happy New Year, buddy.
I'm the same here. I'm going to head off if that's okay with everyone. You got my number.
No, you have to stay, Ken.
Seeing as my husband's going to bed, I better join him. Good night, everyone. Happy New Year to you all.
Night. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Good night. Catch you later, Ken, Bobo, everyone else who's going.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever considered recording a podcast, then visit our website to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club. HPR is funded by the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. All BinRev projects are proudly sponsored by Lunar Pages. From shared hosting to custom private clouds, go to lunarpages.com for all your hosting needs. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.